Open your Bibles with me to the book of John, chapter 6. Text is in verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." A great number of people do not make any effort to follow Jesus Christ. In fact, the overwhelming majority of people live their lives as if Christ did not exist, as if he didn't come into the world, as if he didn't die on the cross, as if he didn't rise from the dead. They pay no attention to him whatsoever. They live their lives entirely separate and apart, having no interest whatsoever in Jesus Christ. They don't believe in hell. They don't believe that when you die without Christ, you go into eternal torment. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he came down from heaven. They have never been convinced that they are sinners. They don't believe that they're sinners. They never look in the mirror in the morning and say, "I'm a sinner." They don't want to go to heaven. In fact, I remember one time being in a meeting, and there was a lady there. She was a representative of the college I was attending. And this man spoke to her about heaven. You know what her response was? She said, "I'm more interested in 4:30. She was telling the truth. She didn't have any interest in heaven. A missionary went to Africa, and he said, "I went over there because I thought those people were going to hell and didn't know about heaven." He said, "I got over there," and he said, "I found out they knew about heaven and didn't want to go there." People want to live their lives as they are, just as they are, and they don't want anything to upset the apple cart. And they're pressing toward hell, but they don't believe it. They're too busy, too good, too intellectual, too self-satisfied in their own estimation to say that I need a Savior. As a consequence, most of those people die in that condition and go to hell. One moment after death, they would give anything in the world if they could return. Christ told us about the rich man. That rich man died. Now, he fared sumptuously every day before he died. He had lots of beef steak on the table. He had all of the advantages of a wealthy life. But one minute after he was dead, you know what he was thinking about? "I'm tormented, these flames." And then he said, "I've got five brothers, and I don't want them to come to this place of torment. Send Lazarus, raise him from the dead and send him back, and then they'll believe." And Abraham said, "No, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe though one were to rise from the dead." Do you know the proof of that? Jesus Christ arose from the dead, and they still didn't believe it. That's the way it is with the natural man. Then there are those, and we thank God for them, that believe on Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he did come down from heaven from his Father, and that he did bear our sins on the cross and rise from the dead and went back to his Father, and he's coming again. And he'll rule and reign here on this earth, and we will rule and reign with him by his grace. We earnestly try to follow Jesus Christ and to do his will. We don't succeed perfectly, but we try to do that. That's what we want to do, and we want to do that in every aspect of our lives. So there are those two groups. Now, the third group, this is a little more difficult to understand. This third group that's spoken of here in our text follow Jesus Christ, but they don't believe in him. Notice what he said. You seek me. They were looking for him. They had been hunting him and they found him. And they were following him. But he says, not because you saw the miracles. They had saw him when he took those few loaves of bread and those few fish and fed a multitude of 5,000. You know, we appreciate so much the ladies and the preparation of the meals. And they put a lot of work into that, in thought and in the actual physical process. And we would never take anything from that. But did you know that if you were to tell a lady that she was to prepare dinner for 5,000 people, she'd sit down in utter confusion because she wouldn't have any idea about how to start. During the Civil War, imagine those armies of 100,000 men. How do you go about feeding them? How do you go about the logistics of getting things ready that's needed to serve a meal to that many people? Well, they had books that they called dictionaries. And it said, here's how many stoves you need. If you've got 5,000 men, you need this many stoves. And then it broke it down. Here's how many potatoes you need. Here's how many bags of flour you need. And if it was bacon and eggs or whatever it was, it told exactly how much. Because, listen, ordinarily we don't think in those numbers. We don't plan that because we don't have that particular number to take care of. But our Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly how to do that. And he simply fed this great number. How many do you suppose were there? You say, well, the text says 5,000 men. Of course. But men and women and their children, assuming they had two or three, you would at least triple the number because there were also 5,000 wives, and then double that number for the children, and you're talking about 15,000, maybe 20,000 people. And Christ fed them miraculously in that manner. So these people were following Christ, but for the wrong reason. So I want to look this morning at this theme, following Christ without faith. That's what they were doing. They were following Christ, but they didn't believe on him. Following Christ, but not recognizing who he is a strange thing. So we look at this theme, following Christ without faith. Now, I only have two parts of the message this morning. Should be able to keep it in your mind without any trouble. The first one is, it is common. And the second one, it is fatal. So let us consider these things. First of all, it is common for people to follow Christ without faith. You say, oh, surely not. That couldn't be. People that go to church and people that carry a Bible and people that talk about these things, surely they have faith. Well, these people didn't. They were following Christ, but they did not believe on him. And these great numbers, turn with me in your Bibles back to Matthew chapter 14, and I'll show you a passage concerning the numbers. In verse 21, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. There is where I get the number of perhaps 15 or 20,000 people. Christ fed them. They had an interest in Christ. Notice all, keep your finger right there in Matthew for a minute. Matthew 13, or 14 rather, and verse 13. This is just after the death of John the Baptist. And when Jesus heard of it, that is of John being beheaded, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. So we see that these people were following Jesus Christ, and he went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. They went to considerable lengths to follow Jesus Christ. Note in John chapter 6, verse 24, when the people therefore saw Jesus was not there, neither the disciples, they also took shipping. Now, if you think about the Sea of Galilee, it is a harp-shaped sea. The biggest part's at the top. And then it kind of trails off and is a small leg of it that sticks out toward the Mediterranean Sea. It is 13 miles long, about 7 miles wide. The cities that are spoken of here in the context of the chapter was Capernaum and Bethsaida. And obviously these cities congregated around that sea because it was a source of food of the fish, and it made the weather nice and so on. Water has a great attraction for human beings. Now, if you want to think about this place where Jesus had preached to these people and then where they followed him, think of a circle around the Sea of Galilee. And at 12 o'clock, straight up, well, then Bethsaida was over on the about 1 o'clock. Capernaum over about 11 o'clock. And so when they sailed, the disciples sailed, they sailed straight toward Capernaum across the sea, and they could do that in their ship. And some of these disciples probably just walked over to Capernaum because it would have been about 3 to 5 miles at the most. And so that's how they got there. It would have been hard to get 15,000 people into those ships. Now, the ships that were used in the day of Jesus, the fishing boats, now we're not talking about the ocean-going vessel, but those fishing boats in Galilee were about 30 feet long. They had a keel. The width was about 7 or 8 feet wide, and they were 4 feet deep. Now, we know that because they found one in the Sea of Galilee, and I can't remember the year. I think it was 1986 or 96. And it had been buried in the mud, and it was from the time of Christ. And it was a ship that had been patched and repaired, but it was the only one they've ever found from that era. And it's in a museum in Israel. And they would carry a crew of about 5 men and could carry 15 passengers. So it's pretty good sized little ship. Now, this is what they did. They took shipping, but we know that you couldn't have got enough boats near there to haul 15,000 people. So most of those people probably walked across above the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum in order to get there. But I'm giving you that information to show you they were seeking Christ. They were interested. They wanted to know where he was, and they wanted to go where he was, and they wanted to hear him. Now, this cost them some money, those that took shipping. They didn't get to ride for nothing. You can't ask a man to row you 3 or 4 miles across a lake if you don't pay him for it. What's his purpose in it? He's got other things he can be doing, so he wants to make a living. You know, we have to work, earn a living, and we have to take care to provide for our own. Now, these men were following Christ externally, but their heart was not engaged. Let me illustrate that for you. When a young man tells a young woman that he loves her and he wants to marry her, but he's always going somewhere else or doing something else, not paying any attention to her, what's she going to think? She's going to think, he doesn't have any real interest in me. When I met my wife, I pretty well knew from the day I met her that she was the girl that I wanted to marry. My mother had told me when I was a young Marine getting ready to ship overseas, she said, "Son, when you find the girl that you want to be your wife, you bring her home and she'll be my daughter, even if she's one of those girls from the island," because she knew I was going to the South Pacific. But you know what I did? I made my wife, my girlfriend then, know that I loved her and that I'd be faithful to her through the years. By the grace of God, I have been. That's what we must do. And when you come to Jesus Christ, you can't come with your mind running after somebody else or some other thing. You've got to be focused and concentrated on Jesus Christ so that you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. And I remember a preacher saying one time that he was proposing marriage to the young lady who wanted to be his wife. But he said, "Honey, I love you more than I love anyone else in the whole world. But I got to tell you, there's one that's not in this world, and you're going to have to take second place to him, because I love the Lord Jesus Christ first of all and most of all, and you second." Well, ladies, that's a good second. There's no problem with that. And we must love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart and with all our soul if we're ever saved. You can't be saved with a divided love, only with a specific and direct love. These people were seeking Christ with a divided love. They loved what they could get out of him. You know, I hate it when somebody uses me just to get something out of me. And I've had a few people do me that way through life. And all they wanted to do was get something, and that was all they needed me for. And after that, I was no longer a friend. You don't need those kind of friends, because in reality, they're your enemies, so you want to watch them. You notice that these people followed Christ only externally. They were like those that follow Christ, but really depend on the entertainment. And if the entertainment ceases, they will stop coming. They will stop following Christ. So listen, just because somebody goes to church does not mean they are following Jesus Christ. I've known of several through the years that began to follow Christ, but no longer do. I was talking to a pastor, friend of mine, at a church I had pastored years ago. And it was a man and a woman in the church. And I asked about them. And he said, "Brother Jim, they live," and he told me where. He said, "They don't have anything to do with the church or with the Lord." I'm not judging that couple. I don't know their hearts, but I do know this, that if you're following Christ for the wrong reason, you give it up sooner or later because there isn't anything to it. It's not real. If you really follow Christ, you won't be doing like these people in the text did. This can even be preachers. Notice with me in verse 71 of our text chapter that Judas Iscariot, who had followed Jesus, who had followed John the Baptist, who was an apostle and probably worked miracles. Notice verse 71. He spake of Judas Iscariot. Let me read verse 70. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" This is one of his own followers. This was one that was as close to Jesus Christ as it was possible to be. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. This reminds me of a statement by Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress. Bunyan said this. He illustrated how that there was a way from to hell from the very gates of heaven. That is, you can follow Christ externally all the way to the gate of heaven. You'll never gain entrance there. You've got another destination if you're not following Christ in your heart. That's what these people were doing. They weren't following Christ as they should have been. They were only following him in an external way. They loved the earthly food that Christ had given them, but they rejected and choked on the bread of heaven. Jesus Christ said, "I am the living bread." But they didn't want that bread. They wanted the physical bread, They wanted to fill their belly, but they didn't want the spiritual bread. Note with me in verse 35. They said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Because he said, the bread of God is that bread which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. And they said, give it to us. We want that. But notice, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me. They were following him, but note what he says. And believe not. You can be close to Jesus Christ and not believe on him. Their souls literally loathed that light bread. You remember that God fed the children of Israel, they've spoken about, that God gave us bread from heaven? Well, in the book of Numbers, chapter 21 and verse 5, the scripture says, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness, for there is no bread. Now listen to this. God was feeding them with manna from heaven day by day. Neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. That's what people follow Christ, that follow him without faith. That's what they do. That's what they say. This is the way of those that follow Christ, but do not believe on him to the salvation of the soul. Verse 36, Jesus said, but I say unto you that you also have seen me, and believe not. They cannot stomach his doctrine. Notice in John 6 and verse 60. Many of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is what he'd said about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples, now note that what Jesus said, his disciples, these people were following him and they were claiming to be his disciples. But he says, they murmured at it. He said unto them, does this offend you? I've had people say to me, I just don't like this preaching. You know what they're saying? I don't believe on Christ. Because I'll tell you right now, the individuals that are saved by the grace of God loves the preaching of the gospel. And when people get tired of it, you can be sure there's something wrong with them. Because Jesus Christ, in establishing his churches, commanded us to preach the gospel. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. My good friend, Brother Cozart, I watched a video of one of his sermons. And he got up into the pulpit and he said, turn in your Bibles. And he said, I want to tell you that I've been saying that for 60 years. And he said, I'm going to keep on saying it. Let me tell you, that's what people need, is the gospel of the Word of God. And if you have a heart that's been drawn by the Spirit of God, I can tell you, you love the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you will never say what these people were saying here. Many therefore, verse 60, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? That is, to his Father. It is the Spirit, mark that word. It is the Spirit that quickens. Do you know what he's saying? It's the Spirit of God that makes us spiritually alive. It is not something you do. You know, these followers of Christ, these pseudo followers of Christ, they said to our Lord, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? There's nothing you can do. It is a gift of God. God gives it, and it is never by anything that we've done. And so he said here, it is the Spirit that makes alive. It is a powerful work of the Spirit where God, the Holy Spirit, comes down and transforms the heart in regeneration and brings us to faith in Jesus Christ. The flesh profits nothing. All of these systems that supposedly save people are nothing but the operations of the flesh. And they won't save you, never have saved a soul, and never will save a soul. And don't you dare trust in them. You look to Jesus Christ. And he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's the gospel. That's what we preach. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Put Judas is in that group, you see. And he said, therefore said I unto you, now listen carefully, that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples, these that the thousands went back and walked no more with him. Jesus was left with the 12. And he turned and said to them, will you also go away? Listen, that was a dark day. But Jesus Christ knew exactly what was going on all the while. He knew those that believed. And he knew those that didn't believe. And then Jesus said, will you also go away? And Peter, responding for the other, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Secondly, following Christ without faith is fatal. If you don't believe on Jesus Christ, you're lost, you're ruined, you're doomed. There is no hope outside of believing on Jesus Christ. No sinner will ever enter into the gates of heaven without faith in Jesus Christ. Christ constantly insisted on this great truth. Notice in some of these verses, and I've already read you some of these, but look with me again, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Look again at verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Again in verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. You don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have eternal life, you're not going to get it, and you can't obtain it until you believe on his Son. There's no possibility of a sinner ever entering heaven without believing on Jesus Christ. It is through believing on Jesus Christ that we receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ, so that we are then wrapped up in snow white righteousness, so that we can go right into heaven in the presence of God, because Christ bore our sins for us and took them away, and we don't bear them anymore. And that's the hope of life eternal. Don't think you can get to heaven without the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and it only comes to you through faith. This is a sovereign gift of God's grace. Let me just hit a couple of these verses. Look at verse 37. Think about this. All that the Father gives me, the Father said to Jesus Christ, I'm putting my elect in your hands. I want you to go into the world, and I want you to redeem them with your own blood. And I want you to save them by your grace. And I want you to bring every one of them and deposit them here on my throne in a perfect righteousness where they will stay for all eternity. And you know what Jesus Christ said? I do always those things that please my Father. I will. And that's the reason that he came. And that's the reason that he went to the cross. And that's the reason that he died there. And that's the reason that he arose from the dead. And that's the reason that he went back to the Father. And let me tell you, there were shouts of glory and praise like heaven never heard when Jesus Christ went through the door. Be lift up, ye everlasting gates, and the King of glory shall come in. Jesus Christ came in with the banners of victory streaming from him and sat down at his Father's right hand because he had done exactly what the Father told him to do. How did he save those that he saves? Were they better than others? No. Apostle Paul said, you're asking for the chief of sinners? Paul's hand was first up. I'm the chief of sinners. And the Lord Jesus Christ met him on the road to Damascus and struck him down. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You've been following, but you haven't been believing. Paul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. You can be following, as it were, and yet persecuting Jesus Christ. And Paul said, Lord, what would you have me to do? He was a bond servant of Jesus Christ from that day forward. It's only by faith. Notice in 29, verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Listen, the Lord has not called you to get baptized in order to be saved. He's not called you to join a church to get saved. He has not called you to do good works to be saved. He has called you to believe on Jesus Christ. And if you do, you shall be saved. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the hope of sinners. If you're a sinner today, I'm pointing you to Jesus Christ. I'm pointing you to the only source of help for a lost sinner. If you don't follow Jesus Christ with all your heart and with all your soul, you're doomed. These people didn't do that. They didn't believe on Jesus Christ. And it was fatal. They died without Christ. If they died in their unbelief. Will you die in unbelief? Or will you die in faith in Jesus Christ? There's only these two things about these people that follow Christ. First of all, it's a common thing going on all the time. Lots of people, multitudes, church members, even preachers. But being common doesn't make it good. We're all sinners commonly. But that isn't a good thing. But those that follow Christ in that manner, it is a fatal thing. If these followers who are just following Christ generally without faith, if they die like they live, it is fatal. They will be lost. They will be sent away to eternal punishment. I pray that the Lord may awaken each one of you so that you may know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you may believe on him with all your heart, and I assure you, according to the Word of God, you shall be saved. May the Lord bless his Word.